Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tujunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from Psalm 89, verses 20 through 37. Somewhat of an epic. I have found David my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, "You are my Father, my God, my rock, my Savior." I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging, but I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. This is an extended prayer by an author known as Ethan. The first roughly 18 or 19 verses are a hymn to God, extolling the goodness of God. Verses 19 through 37 are an extended oracle, meaning that it's a holy conversation coming from God, talking about the blessings due the Davidic kingdom. And then the last 38 through 52 are a lament over the decline in David's rule and reign. So it's sort of a three-act play, if you will. We have that centerpiece, which is talking about covenant, the lasting nature of God's relationship with David, despite whatever may fall between David. God is intent on partnering, on being present to David. So part of the nature of titling this, it came to me that God's love is forever. We fall in and out of love with God. If something good happens, we sometimes remember and say, "Oh, thank you, God." Usually, if something bad's happening, where were you, God? Is our question. And so, running that over in my mind, I came to this sense of how we relate with God and how our own stories get woven into the fabric of our existence. We keep grudges for generations. I've been at funerals where I was presiding, and there are grown adults who haven't spoken to each other in decades. I know something about grudges because I come from a family that has kept a grudge or two, so I understand, but the older I get, the less time and patience I have for that kind of behavior in myself and in others, because I don't think it bears any helpful fruit. You have things that are part of your story, a conversation you had or wished you had, a missed opportunity. Again, I've presided over services where one of the children maybe had a conflicted relationship with a parent and didn't get the opportunity to heal that, didn't have the opportunity to say goodbye, and people carry these things. My response when somebody shares this is sit down and write them a letter and share all of those details. And the response is, well, why would I do that? They're not here. But you are. And having that conversation can be helpful and healing and even holy to have, even with yourself. The purpose of forever and ever is related to us theologically and even mystically. There's a wonderful story about a couple in their late 80s or early ninth decade. They've been married over 60 years. They've really taken good care of themselves, mostly because the wife has helped them watch dietary needs. And they're involved in a terrible automobile accident and die. And as Peter welcomes them into the pearly gates, the shows them a beautiful, beautiful home on a golf course. And the man says, well, how much is this house? And he said, no, this is heaven. Peter says, this is heaven. There's no charge. And then shows the golf course, and the man loves to play golf. He has a robust golf game. And he says, well, what are the green fees? No, this is heaven. There are no green fees. And shows them the dining hall where every sumptuous food known to humanity is served. And the man says, well, what about the calories? What about all of the health food that has kept us? And he says, you just don't get it, Peter says. This is heaven. There is no holding back. Everything is yours. And the man takes off his hat, stomps on the ground, steps on his hat and says, looks at his wife and says, now, if you had just not taken such good care of us the last 10 years, we could have been here a decade sooner. So it depends on the story as to how that forever and ever might be. I'm going to share something personal, and I think I can get through this, but it's a few of you probably still remember Genevieve Pedler. She was a faithful member of this parish the first 4 years I was here, and she entered the church triumphant January 15th, 1994. She was a full-fledged member of that greatest generation. Just an elegant and the very nicest and sweetest way. I remember as her health started to fail, she was really upset that I came to see her and her hair and nails weren't done. And the next time I went to see her, because her nails and hair were always impeccable, the next time I went to see her, her hair was beautiful as always and her nails just perfect. But what I want to share with you is she was part of Lofi Low, that wonderful Sunday school class that met for so many years in the Lofi Low room here. Loyalty, Fellowship, and Love. if you want to know what that means. And I was asked to lead a Sunday school class from time to time. And one of those, we were talking about the power of memory and how it related to joy and loss. And Genevieve I knew very little about her life. Her husband had worked for the railroad, and I knew that she had a daughter in Connecticut and was just this very sweet, generous, elegant woman. And out of seemingly nowhere, but everywhere, because we were talking about the power of memory and loss, she talked about a hat that she had had probably 60 years prior, how one day it had blown off her head and her young son went to chase that hat, stepped into traffic, and was struck and killed. I told you it was probably a 60-year-old story. Her voice cracked, and I started to cry hearing it, because knowing that the time and the distance had not removed that memory, it was forever and ever for her. It was fresh. Then we talked about what a sweet, wonderful boy he had been, and how, while she felt terrible that his life had been cut short, how grateful she was have been his mother. We each have stories. Some of them have sadness, but all of them can have a certain amount of joy. But we have to work at it. I'm going to share these not in their entirety on the one. I'm a fan of radio. I've told you about NPR. And the other, I like classic rock and roll. I'll listen to anything, but I like classic rock and roll. And probably about 3 weeks ago, I was driving and I heard Luther Vandross sing, and I thought, man, I miss the new. I know we have all these recordings, but he died far too young. He's just a little bit younger than me. And he had one of those magical voices, and I'd forgotten how absolutely beautiful his phrasing was. I don't know how much of his stuff he wrote, but as I was putting this together, I in retrospect, went back and said, I don't know that I could do the Vandross stuff without crying, but I can read the lyrics to Randy Travis, Forever and Ever, Amen. I don't think he wrote this, but he certainly sings it beautifully. And here it is. And how fitting that we have a 58th wedding anniversary so we can talk about this kind of relationship. You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. You may wonder how I can promise you now that this love that I feel for you will always be. You're not just some time I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is going to be yours till the day I die. And then the chorus. Well, baby, I'm going to love you forever, forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather, as long as old women sit and talk about old men, if you wonder how long I'll be faithful, I'll be happy to tell you again. I'm going to love you forever, forever and ever. Amen. And then that's the second verse is my favorite. They say time takes a toll on a body, makes young girls' brown hair turn gray. Honey, I don't care. I ain't in love with your hair. And if it fell out, well, I'd love you anyway. They say time can play tricks on a memory, make people forget things they knew. Well, it's easy to see that it's happening to me. I've already forgotten every woman but you. And then that chorus that closes, it's just listen to how the song ends. I'm going to love you forever and ever, forever and ever. Amen. All we have are stories that we carry within us, that we endeavor to share to the best of our ability. I get all kinds of emails, some of them helpful, some of them snarky. If you don't know what that is, just think of what you might have sent me. Some of them just whimsical and fun, and some of them with depth beyond measure. Nyleen Rapanak, our wonderful administrator, sent this to me. It came to her, I think, from Jimmy Weldon, who was here with us, but Jimmy doesn't claim it. He says it came from Dick Luger, and actually came from Max Licato, cited this in a book. So having said that, it states, the title of the story is Old Guy and a Bucket of Shrimp. This is a true story, and he asks that we appreciate it. It happened every Friday evening, almost without fail, when the sun resembled a giant orange and was starting to dip in the blue ocean. Old Ed came strolling along the beach to his favorite pier. Clutched in his bony hand was a bucket of shrimp. Ed walks out to the end of the pier, where it seems he almost has the world to himself. The glow of the sun is golden bronze now. Everybody's gone except for a few joggers on the beach. Standing out on the end of the pier, Ed is alone with his thoughts and his bucket of shrimp. Before long, however, he is no longer alone. Up in the sky, 1,000 white dots come screeching and squawking, winging their way toward that lanky frame. Standing there on the end of the pier, before long, dozens of seagulls have enveloped him, their wings fluttering and flapping wildly. Ed stands there tossing shrimp to the hungry birds. As he does, if you listen closely, you can hear him say with a smile, "Thank you, thank you." In a few short minutes, the bucket is empty, but Ed doesn't leave. He stands there lost in thought, as though transported to another time and place. When he finally turns around and begins to walk back towards the beach, a few birds hop along the pier with him until he gets to the stairs. Then they, too, fly away. And old Ed quietly makes his way down to the end of the beach and on to his home. If you were sitting there on the pier with your fishing line in the water, Ed might seem like a funny old guy, as my dad used to say, or a guy who's a sandwich shy of a picnic, as modern young people might say. To onlookers, he's just another old codger lost in his own weird world, feeding the seagulls with a bucket full of shrimp. To onlookers, rituals can either be very strange or very empty. They seem altogether unimportant, maybe even a lot of nonsense. Old folks often do strange things, at least in the eyes of boomers and busters. Most of them would probably write old Ed off down there in Florida. That's too bad. They do well to know him better. His full name, Eddie Rickenbacker. He was a famous hero back in World War II. On one of his flying missions across the Pacific, he and his 7-member crew went down. Miraculously, all of the men survived, crawled out of their plane, and climbed into a life raft. Captain Rickenbacker and his crew floated for days on the rough waters of the Pacific. They fought the sun, they fought sharks, most of all, they fought hunger. By the 8th day, their rations ran out, no food, no water. They were hundreds of miles from land, and no one knew where they were. They needed a miracle. That afternoon, they had a simple devotional service and prayed for a miracle. They tried to nap. Eddie leaned back and pulled his military cap over his nose. Time dragged. All he could hear was the slap of the waves against the raft. Suddenly, Eddie felt something land on top of his cap. It was a seagull. Old Ed would later describe how he sat perfectly still, planning his next move. With a flash of his hand and a squawk from the gull, he managed to grab it and wring its neck. He tore the feathers off, and he and his starving crew made a meal, a very slight great man of this seagull. Then they used the intestines for bait. With it, they caught fish, which gave them food and more bait, and the cycle continued. With that simple survival technique, they were able to endure the rigors of the sea until they were found and rescued after 24 days at sea. Eddie Rickenbacker lived many years beyond that ordeal, but he never forgot the sacrifice of that first life-saving seagull. And he never stopped saying thank you. That's why almost every Friday night he would walk to the end of the pier with a bucket full of shrimp and a heart full of gratitude. The reference is from Max Lucado in The Eye of the Storm. And then the P.S. from the email is, P.S. Eddie started Eastern Airlines. Stories are to be told and retold forever and ever. Amen. This psalm needs to be read and reread. We get it every 3 years in our lectionary cycle. We need these stories to retell, to remind us of God's presence with us. We need to understand that the people that we want to be heroes are just normal humans who do what they are called to do. Be it Eddie Rickenbacker or the Bible patriarchs, David was an all too human person. And we know that story. Even in his humanity, God was with him forever and ever and ever. So why would we be so foolish to think when things aren't going the way we want that God would not be with us? Don't confuse our behavior with God. God is going to be who God is going to be. We need to be better at being who we're called to be in the name of faith. Forever, ever, and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.